So welcome to Bethel. Thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us and worshiping the Lord today. It is great to be back. Last weekend I was gone and I went to Seattle, Washington, and I've never been so glad to get out of a place in my entire life. Jones County is not all bad, y'all. Come on, somebody. Hey, speaking of the last couple of weeks, didn't Connor do a great job a couple of weeks ago and Cole last week? It's really cool to know that you can leave and that things are going to be in great hands when you're gone. And so thank you guys. Thanks everybody for being a part of the body of Christ here at Bethel. Today we're going to continue in our series Moments. Everybody say Moments. It's these moments. It's these times in our life when we see the hand of God move. It's these moments when our relationships become really real, when we're in a dark place, how these moments lift us up and build our faith. And so today we're going to continue in our series Moments. I want to ask you a question before we get started. A couple of questions. Has anybody in here, and I'm asking you in all transparency and in all honesty, have you ever felt like you were just all alone? Have you ever felt like you were all alone? Have you ever felt like I am doing exactly what God has asked me to do, but things are just not working like I thought they were going to work out? Have you ever just been down? Have you ever just been a little bit depressed? Have you ever wondered if you're just going to make it through this trial that you're facing right now? I think if we're all honest and we're all telling the truth and we all take our church masks off and we all quit trying to worry about our image and worry about what everybody else thinks about us, I think everybody in here can say, I've found myself at that point at some time in my life. Today we're going to talk about a guy, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. We're going to talk about this guy whose name was Elijah. And I'm quite sure that he asks himself these same questions many times. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that Elijah would ask himself, am I the only one left? I feel like at times Elijah was depressed. I feel like he had some down or weak moments. But I want you to see that God used him in a mighty way to bring spiritual renewal to the nation of Israel. And even though you may be struggling, and even though you may be down, and even though things may not be going the way that you want them to go, I want you to know today we got to put our faith and we got to put our trust in God, because God has brought us from a mighty long way and God is not done with us yet. God still wants to use us to overcome. We're going to see how Elijah had some moments that inspired him and encouraged him. Before we get to the scripture, let's pray, and then we'll see what the Lord would say to us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, we need to hear from you. We come here today from different places in life, different situations, but you are still God, and you are still on the throne. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that not my words come out of my mouth, but your words come out of my mouth. And I pray that those words would be real, they would be relevant, and they would be transformative to everyone that hears them. Lord, do what you do in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. We're going to talk about Elijah, but I want to set the stage for you and let you know what's going on in the nation of Israel. God's chosen people, the ones that were in bondage to Egypt, and God miraculously came and delivered them and set them free, and now they're headed to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And but the nation of Israel is in a really bad way in this moment. They're in a bad way. They have a really, really wicked and evil king, and his name is Ahab. Ahab is the leader of the nation of Israel, and he is more wicked than any other king that has ever led the nation of Israel. And a matter of fact, 1 Kings 16:30 says this. 1 Kings 16:30 says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. So the nation of Israel has a wicked king and a wicked leader. Here's what else you need to know. Not only is Ahab wicked, but his wife Jezebel is very wicked as well. Jezebel grew up. Jezebel is the son of a king. Her father was the king of Tyre. Her father was set to be the king of Tyre, and he didn't want to wait for a natural process to come about. And so he had the king before him murdered so that he could step up and become king. Jezebel is wicked. Jezebel learned how to be wicked from her father and the home that she grew up in. Jezebel learned how to be controlling and how to be manipulative. She was leading her husband. She was persuading her husband, who was persuading the entire nation to turn away from God. As a matter of fact, Jezebel had all of the prophets of God slaughtered and murdered. How many know that's wicked? Can I hear a good amen? Ahab married her. She controlled him. She manipulated him, as well as manipulating many other people in that entire nation. She was evil and wicked. Listen to what 1 Kings 21:25 says. 1 Kings 21:25 says, No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife. She influenced him to be more evil than he already was. She was so wicked. We live in this culture and in this world that said God is great and God is good and God is gracious and he's sweet and syrupy and he's a sugar daddy and he would never, never, ever let anything evil happen. Let me tell you, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And Jezebel was so wicked and had so many prophets of God killed. I want to read to you this story about her death. I want to read to you the story of how Jezebel died. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 33 through 37. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 33 through 37. There is a new king. Ahab has been taken off the throne. Jehu is a new king. He's a God-fearing king, and he comes into town. Jezebel is in the window, looking out the window of an upstairs building. She is painted up. She is dressed seductively because she's manipulative, and she wants to control all the men in her life. And here's what Jehu says in verse 33, throw her down. Throw her out the window. This is some gangster stuff right here, y'all. I'm just saying. So they did. There were two eunuchs up there with her. They grab her and they throw her out the window. She falls so far that some of her blood splattered all over the wall, splattered on the horses, and the horses trampled over her. Now, this is real gangster right here. Verse 34. Then Jehu said, let's go in the house and eat something and drink something. So they get in there, they eat and they drink, they're eating and they're drinking, and Jehu has a moment and he goes, wait a minute, see now to this cursed woman and let's bury her, for she was the king's daughter. So they went out to bury Jezebel, and when they went out to bury her, they found no more of her than her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. And when they came back and told Jehu, he said this, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. In the territory of Jezreel, the dogs will eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the territory of Jezreel, so that no one can say, this is Jezebel. I tell you this story because there's a couple of points that we want to pull out and I want to talk about with you today. Things that are very important for you and I. Young people, I want you to listen to me right now. Young people who are not married, young men, young women who want to get married at some point, it matters who you marry. It matters who you marry. I know he may be cool, and I know his parents may have some money, and I know that you think he is handsome, but you know what the Bible says? Do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And you may think you're cute, girl, and you may think you're fancy, and you may think you can change him, but you've bought the lie of the enemy. And can I tell you something, young men, more than one who dresses cute, who dresses seductively, who has more followers on Instagram and everybody oohs and ahs over, you better marry somebody that believes the same way that you believe. Because I'm going to tell you, life is tough enough when you're by yourself, and when you get married, you need somebody that will encourage you. You need somebody that will push you in the things of God. We need our spouses, y'all. And can I just tell you, be thankful for your spouse. Tubby, where you at? Be thankful for me, Tubby. Come on, somebody. I'm thankful for Tubby. I'm thankful for my spouse. Understand this, men and women. Understand that there is a man and that there is a woman and that we are two different creatures. Can I hear a good amen? We don't think the same way. We don't operate the same way. But I'm going to tell you something. Your spouse will never be perfect. Your spouse will not always get it right. But if your spouse leads you in the ways of the Lord and supports you in the things of God, rejoice over them, be thankful over them, and let them know you appreciate them. It matters who you marry. It also matters the way you raise your children. Jezebel, her control and her manipulation and her wickedness was birthed out of her home. She watched her father control. She watched her father manipulate to get the things that he wanted. And she learned all of that in her home. The way that we raise our children and the atmosphere that we create in our home will either be an obstacle or be a blessing to our children. And to believe that lie, that you say to your children, do as I say and not as I do, is an absolute lie. Because more is caught than is taught. Our children will grow up much like us. Jezebel caught it from her dad. Last thing is this. How many of you know this is the fact and the truth of the Word of God? God will serve vengeance up on a platter. It's not your job nor my job to try to get revenge on everyone else. God is in control. God sees everything. Romans 12:19 says this, beloved, never try to avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So wicked Ahab and Jezebel built this altar. They built this altar to Baal, this false god. They worshiped him, and they led the nation of Israel away from God. One more point is this. It matters who your leader is. It matters who your leader is. So here's Israel is messed up. They're going away from God. They're worshiping Baal. And so what does God do in order to fix this? What does God do to drive back darkness and bring back the glory of God? Out of nowhere, he raises up one man named Elijah. Can I tell you something, men of God? Can I tell you something, women of God? That every time that God gets ready to drive back darkness in a certain area, in a region, in a family, he will always start with raising up one person. One person to be that leader. And he raised up Elijah. Elijah is not just a leader, not just a regular leader. Can I tell you something right quick? Look at me. Look. You're a leader. You're a leader. Every man, every woman, you're a leader. You may not be on stage. You may not lead some Bible study, but you're a leader. You are leading somebody. Somebody is looking up to you. And today, I don't want to talk to you about a regular leader. I want to talk to you about a transformational leader. A leader that will change everything. God needed an Elijah that wouldn't just turn a handful of people, but would turn an entire nation back to God. And transformational leaders is what we need in the world we live in today. Transformational leaders, someone that is determined. Someone that is courageous, someone that is gritty, someone that is fiery, someone that is full of passion and energy, someone that has a go all in attitude, someone who is willing to be pushed outside of the norm, someone who is willing to push others, someone who is willing to go against the normal, someone who is ready to go into uncharted territory, someone that is willing to stand up and face opposition, someone that is willing to do hard things. These people, these transformational leaders, you want to be a transformational leader? You want to transform your family? You want to transform the generation right now? You want to transform where you work? You want to transform? Here's the deal. You got to know, transformational leaders are always going to seem extreme to everybody outside in the world. Transformation leaders, they'll always seem extreme. They'll always seem a little over the top. They'll seem a little bit abrasive, a little bit rough. They're always going to be straightforward. They're going to be misunderstood by lots of people. Think about it. Moses, misunderstood. Noah, misunderstood. David, misunderstood. John the Baptist, come off as abrasive. Peter, Elijah. I just think God is wanting to raise up some more people in 2025 that are not afraid of being labeled by the world and not afraid of being labeled by people that worship some other God. Some men and women. I really believe God is looking for that kind of person today. How many of you need some transformation in your life? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Transformation equals change. Look at me, listen to me. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Right. If you keep doing the same old thing that you've been doing for a lot of years and keep playing the same old games and keep going through the same old motions, nothing is going to change. If you need some change, if your kids need some change, if your marriage needs some change, you're going to have to be a transformational leader and be willing to change some things. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me out today, are you? Usually 11 o'clock's my favorite service, but 9 was way more into this than y'all. You know what Elijah did? You know what Elijah, we're going to see, you know what Elijah did? He let the Lion of Judah roar in his life. He let the Lion of Judah roar. Can I tell you, it's not your victory or my victory. It's the victory of Jesus Christ in our life. And we don't have to make him roar. All we have to do is put ourselves in a position and allow him to roar in our lives and drive back the darkness. My challenge for you today is this. My challenge for you today is this. Be a transformational leader or be thankful for a transformational leader that's in your life. Be a transformational leader or follow a transformational leader. And then pray for them and encourage them. Here we go. 1 Kings 17. Timekeepers, start right now. Israel, wicked. Darkness, serving Baal. 1 Kings 17, verse number 1. Now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, he went to this wicked king, stood face to face with him with courage. And he said, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. He said, there is a drought coming to the nation of Israel. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, Elijah, depart from here, turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So Elijah makes this declaration to the king, and he goes to the brook. He did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook in Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him sourdough bread from Salty Rome Bakehouse and T-bone steaks from Cody's back porch every morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank pure spring water, not from Spring Market, but from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Can I just tell you, there's consequences for being disobedient to God. There's consequences. We think there's not, but the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, they followed after other gods, and now a drought has come. Can I just tell you, can I preach to y'all like I want to preach right now? Because some of you are in a drought and you're blaming everybody else for the drought that you're in. You're blaming our country, you're blaming our nation, you're blaming our parents, you're blaming your pastor. And the reason that you're in the middle of a drought is because you have been disobedient to the word of God. And there comes a time when we got to go, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be obedient to God. There is a drought in the land. Elijah goes, he's living out in the country, he's eating bread and steak twice a day. Soon the brook dries up. There's no more water, and he has to leave there and go to this next town called Zarephath. When he gets there, he sees that God has already been there. There's a widow woman that takes Elijah in. She cooks for him, lets him stay in an apartment in her house, and then here it goes again. God has one more thing for Elijah. Can I tell you, no matter what God has spoken to you and no matter what you've done for the kingdom and the glory of God, can I tell you, God always has something else for you to do. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 1 Kings 18, 1 and 2. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again in the third year. And he said, go show yourself to Ahab. That is a strong statement. Ahab is a murderer. Ahab's wife has already killed all the prophets of God. Elijah see and recognize that he's not just going to meet them at Starbucks for coffee. He's going to the king's palace to stand right in front of this wicked king who has killed people just like him. That took some courage. Can I hear a good amen? Go show yourself to Ahab, and when you do, I'll send rain upon the earth. So Elijah goes, shows himself to Ahab, and here's what happens next. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, the troubler of Israel? How many of you know when you stand for the Lord, people will call you a troublemaker? Does that not sound like the last 4, 5, 6 years in the United States of America? If you stand for the word of God, if you are pro-life, they will label you. If you are pro-biblical marriage, they will label you. If you are pro-male and female, they will label you. They will call you a troublemaker. They'll do everything they can to talk you out of living and speaking the convictions you have from the word of God. Are you the one troubling Israel? But I love the fact that Elijah is ready. Be ready in season and be ready out of season. And the moment that Ahab calls him a troublemaker, he responds in verse 18 and says, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, you and your father, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send the rain. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness? Somebody ought to put your hands together and just give the Lord a little bit of a shout right now. Elijah says, now therefore, buddy, Ahab, you old wicked king and your old wicked manipulative wife, gather all of the people of Israel down at Mount Carmel. Bring those 450 prophets of Baal, that false god you've been worshiping, that statue you've been bowing down to, that little fat baby Buddha doll you've been burning incense to, that crazy Islam god. Go get all them false gods and their prophets. Bring them down here. And let's see what goes on. So here's what happens. They go. Elijah comes. He's the only one left. 450 prophets of Baal, all the people of Israel are gathered around. Watch verse, or 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. I just love that sound, y'all. I just can't get over that. 1 Kings 18, 20. So Ahab sent all the people of Israel and gathered all the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah said to all the people, come near, y'all. How long are you going to go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people did not answer a word. I know this is going to seem old school. I know some people are going to call it hellfire and brimstone preaching. But I believe what's going to bring our souls back to God. I believe what's going to bring our marriages back to God. I believe what's going to bring our children back to God and our nation back to God and our education system back to God is when we quit limping along between two different opinions. It's time that we quit living one life on Saturday night and living another church life on Sunday morning. It's time that we make up in our minds, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to stand for the commandments of Almighty God. Elijah says, y'all got to quit riding the fence. Y'all got to quit being double-minded. You need to quit being lukewarm, get hot or get cold. Verse 22 of 1 Kings 18, Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. You ever feel like you're outnumbered? One prophet of God against 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah walked in faith, and Elijah says, I'm telling you what, let's do. Let's settle this thing once and for all. Let's see which God is the real God. Let's see which God will show up today, Baal or God Almighty. Verse 23. Let two bulls be given to us. This is Old Testament stuff. They offered sacrifices. They killed bulls and goats and calves. They cut them up into pieces, cut their throat, bled them out, cut them up into pieces, burned them up on an altar of fire. Let's let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, well spoken, that is a deal. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. 4 or 5 hours they're calling on Baal. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they limped around the altars that they had made. And watch this. Here comes the smack talk. How many of you know it is okay and it's biblical to talk a little smack to the enemy once in a while? Elijah's like, y'all been doing that 4 hours? And at verse 27, at noon, Elijah started mocking him. He started making fun of him. He says, maybe you need to holler just a little bit louder. For either maybe he's musing, maybe he's playing, or maybe he's in the bathroom relieving himself. That's why he can't answer you. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's asleep. Cry a little louder so you can wake him up. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out upon them. Let me stop right there and say they're self-mutilating themselves. They're cutting themselves up. They're torturing themselves. Can I tell you, serving and seeking some other God other than God Almighty will always revert to self-mutilation and self-torture, because nobody can do for us what God Almighty can do. And at midday, when midday had passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. And Elijah says once again, hey, y'all come close. Come near to me. And all the people came near to Elijah, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar. He dug a ditch as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull up, and laid the pieces on the wood. And he said, you guys, fill up 4 jars with water and just pour it on the wood and pour it on the burnt offering. And he said, you know what? Fill up 4 more jars and do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Verse 35, and the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of oblation, Elijah, the single soul, only prophet of God left, came near, and he said these words, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And then all of a sudden, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah didn't stop there. He said to everybody, seize all those prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the creek at Kishon and slaughtered every one of them there. How many of you think Elijah might have had a moment right there? Come on, somebody. Called down the fire of God and with energy and vigor and said, you know what? We're going to destroy all of these people. That's bloody and that's gory, but they took them down to the creek and they killed every one of them. What a moment that a transformational leader said, call me abrasive. Call me a troublemaker. That a transformational leader said, I may be the only one left, but I will continue to be obedient to the Lord God and to his commands and his words. One leader stood up and the whole entire nation of Israel was transformed and changed, and they went back to serving God Almighty that day. What a moment that they celebrated in the Bible, and we're still celebrating some 3,000 years later. Conrad, come help me close this thing. Here's the bottom line today. The bottom line is this. God chooses ordinary men and women in the face of darkness to drive back darkness. God chooses ordinary men, ordinary women. You may never stand on this stage, but God chose you to be married to that woman you're married to. God chose you to be married to that man that you're married to. God chose you to raise those children. God chose you to be salt and light in the areas of influence that he has placed you. And when we stand up, when we allow God to choose us and use us, not only does it bless us, it blesses everybody around us. We got to be willing, y'all. We got to be willing. We have to be willing to be courageous, willing to be strong, willing to be full of faith. When we're obedient and stay the course, God's promises will always come to pass. I need you to listen to me one more time right quick. Can you look at me? Look. We live in a microwave culture nowadays where if we stop at the drive-in at McDonald's fast food, and when we get around to the window, if the little gal working for minimum wage doesn't have our hamburger and french fries and Dr. Pepper ready for us, we will lose our crap because we think we deserve everything in a moment. Just is the way it is. Elijah stayed by himself at the brook for 3 years before the drought was broken and before he received a great victory in his life. 3 years. He was lonely. I wonder, any of you ever feel lonely right now? Don't you think Elijah felt lonely by the brook? We have to overcome our loneliness and overcome our feelings and let faith rise up within us, even if we're not feeling it at the moment. 3 years he continued, and God always shows up with his promises because the promises of God are yes and amen. Let me ask you this. Have any of you, I'm going to see you raise your hands, had a moment where God just showed up and it changed your life and it changed the trajectory of your life, everything, changed your family? I'll guarantee you, in that moment, you did something that you'd never done before. See, we want to have a moment with God, but we want to keep doing what we've always done and keep acting the way we've always acted and keep leading the way we've always led. If we want to have these moments with God, a moment where the fire of God falls, a moment where transformation takes place, we have to step up with courage and say, you know what? If God be for me, who shall be against me? I will stand in the face of my enemy and I will be obedient to God, because that's when my God shows up. You want a moment, you got to do something different. You want a moment, you got to be transformative leader. God always wins in the end. If we bow out and quit, we miss God's best. If we bow out and quit and give up, we miss the moments of God. I'll say this and then I'm done. What a privilege for men and women like you and me. What a privilege. I know you're better now than you've ever been, but what a privilege that common and ordinary men and women like you and me, full of sin, full of faults, full of shortcomings, full of fear, full of anger, full of unforgiveness. What an opportunity that you and I have through the blood of Jesus Christ to come boldly to the throne of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the door, the deliverer, the everlasting God, the way, the truth, and the life, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. What a privilege that you and I get to come to that God and ask Him and cry out to Him to move on our behalf. Never forget that prayer is a privilege that not everyone has. And you and I have the privilege today in this moment to be like Elijah and say, I'm ready for transformation. You and I have the privilege right now to cry out, oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of creation, God of the world, move on my behalf. We have a privilege to cry out to Him right now and to watch Him move. It may happen right now, but it may happen in 3 years. But when it does happen, it'll be a moment. Y'all stand on your feet and let's close. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, for this moment, for this time. Thank you, Lord, that you show up at the most opportune time. It may not be on our timing, but it's always on your timing. And your way is perfect, and your ways are higher than our ways. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. So I pray for the people in this place today who may be down and out, who may be facing big obstacles. I pray right now they would muster up the courage to stand up to the things that have them afraid and call out to you, God, and that you would begin to move on their behalf. Thank you for what you've done. Most of all, thank you for what you're going to do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord today.